The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, I finally figured it out. Finally figured it out. I'm trying to figure out the whole time, Leah Thomas, the guy that's swimming against women, the whole time I'm like, he reminds me of somebody. Sorry if I just triggered you. He reminds me of somebody. Welcome back, by the way. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. I'm like, every time I see Leah Thomas, the man swimming in the pool with women, so the big dude trying to beat up on smaller women in the swim pool for women, competing with women. How many times can I say that? And I'm thinking all along, he reminds me of somebody. Leah Thomas reminds me of somebody. Man, who is it? That's right. Leah Thomas reminds me of Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, what a hero, right? What a great movie, 42, right? Wasn't that his number? Jackie Robinson, first black Major League Baseball player. And, he broke the color barrier. And so Leah Thomas in the NCAA Women's Championship sports. Jackie Robinson. I finally figured it out. Who does this guy remind me of? He reminds me of another man, Jackie Robinson. Of course, that isn't my personal position. Hopefully you knew that already. If this is the very first time you've tuned into the show, you might be tuning out already. I might have lost you already. But no, that's not my position. But it is, however, the position of NBC News in this little ditty of a story. So this is crazy. So we'll start with NBC News, then we'll switch over to Ron DeSantis because he has a little something to say. And might I add that I'm really looking forward to the day that we're not talking about Donald Trump and presidential politics anymore. And then we can talk about Ron DeSantis because I think he would be a great president. This will be interesting to watch this develop over time. Unless Donald Trump, something crazy happens, he's going to run in the next couple of years for the presidency, and that'll take DeSantis out. And then DeSantis will just bide his time. But we'll see. So Leah Thomas and Jackie Robinson. The famous, incredible Jackie Robinson. Here's the title. So we're going to talk about a little bit of this today. We're going to be in Florida for a little bit. So we'll talk about Leah Thomas and then Ron DeSantis's response. And then we'll stay in Florida a little bit, talking about the law that they are just passing. Now it's got to go to his desk, but he's going to sign it. They call it, the opposition is calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill. Don't Say Gay Bill, which passed in the House and now it's passed in the Senate. It's going to go DeSantis and they're going to sign it. So I want to talk about that. Then we'll jump from Florida to Austin, Texas. Texas, the big red state, right? Not so much anymore, but we'll go to Texas and the Austin School District where the school district was telling four-year-olds to keep the Pride Week lessons a secret. Shh, be quiet, little boys and girls. Don't tell mom and dad that we're doing this. Except the vice president, principal in one of these schools happened to put the video up on her Twitter account about all these little kids in this elementary school doing a little pride parade right there in the school. And so that's an issue. And then we'll talk about Hunter Biden. This is a great op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. My brother sent it to me. Hunter Biden's laptop in America's crisis of accountability. Holy moly, that's crazy. And then we'll finish with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, for whatever reason, had a devotional go out via Proverbs 31, which is not about male athletes. Proverbs 31, which is just great, inspiring, really spoke to me personally. I think it's going to speak to all of you personally. Finding Your Mission Right Where You Are by Tim Tebow. My incredible wife sent that to me this morning. And it's just awesome. There's so many things in there, like the students that I teach every week. And by the way, if you have high school age homeschoolers, if you're here in North Carolina, whether you're here near Raleigh, where I am, or in North Carolina, or anywhere in the country, I would love the opportunity to be honored to be able to teach your high schoolers either U.S. history, civics, or both. Online now, we're adding the online component. I've been teaching for 10 years. That's Noble U. Just go to Noble U School. That's the letter U. NobleUSchool.com. You can check out all the information there, and we'll get you connected, and we can have that conversation. But wanting to teach, and I talk to my students all the time, not just about the subject matter at hand, but a biblical worldview about the Lord himself, as well as what they're going to do with their lives. So I'll finish with the Tim Tebow thing today. But let's start with NBC. So inspiring. Leah Thomas's NCAA championship performance gives women's sports a crucial opportunity. Anyone who listen to this, anyone who cares about the advancement of sports and women's sports in particular should celebrate her win. NBCnews.com, March 21st. Just some pieces here. Leah Thomas placed last in the 100-yard freestyle swim during the NCAA championships. Yet, Thomas has been at the center of controversy regarding his eligibility to compete in women's events. This controversy came to an apex last week at the NCAA championships when she became the first openly trans athlete to win a Division I championship in any sport. For anyone who cares about the advancement of sports and women's sports in particular, her win should be celebrated. Here, all you Jackie Robinson fans, you got to jump on the bandwagon here, okay? Women's sports are situated at a paradoxical intersection wherein, just listen to this, it's just woke madness, intersectionality, all this craziness, Romans 1 craziness, trying to make sense of itself, okay? Women's sports are situated at a paradoxical intersection wherein sex segregation, oh, got to add that one, sex segregation is upheld through claims of biological difference, claims of biological. Yet equality is prefaced on being treated the same and given the same opportunities as men. If we are to change this, we need to ask some important questions. Obviously you do, NBC. Sex segregation is upheld through claims of biological difference. Okay, claims of a biological difference. XX and XY isn't a claim, NBC. That's a fact. And some people are born with innies. And some people are born with outies. Yes, thank you, Bill Mann, on Facebook Live. Just like we do, right, with man-made global warming. Follow the science. Just like we do with COVID. Or do we not do that anymore? Follow the science. That being Mr. Fauci. So I don't see Dr. Fauci in this article, so it can't be science. If we're to change this, we need to ask some important questions. How does one advocate for equitable treatment while also adhering to the notion of biological difference? Now biological differences for NBC is a notion. It's a notion. Go into the boys' locker room, then go into the girls' locker room and see some differences. Is that a notion or is that a reality? If separate is not equal in the case of schools, bathrooms, restaurants, or other social institutions, can separate ever truly be equal in the case of sports? Would gender-based discrimination in sports be eradicated if sports were gender integrated? More madness when we come back. All right, all you haters out there, pay attention. Pay attention. Leah Thomas, the man competing against women in swimming, is a modern-day Jackie Robinson. At least that's according to NBCnews.com. In their March 21st article, just yesterday, just blossoming with integrity and warm fuzzies. And I'm looking for, are there any like little, what are those horses with the, a unicorn's like a rainbow unicorn bouncing across the page. It hasn't happened yet, but maybe it will. How does one advocate for equitable treatment while also adhering to the notion of biological difference? If separate's not equal in the case of schools, bathrooms, restaurants, or other social institutions, can separate ever truly be equal in the case of sports? They go on. The NCAA approved its first policy on the inclusion of trans athletes in collegiate athletics in 2011. The policy allowed trans female students, that's a guy that thinks he's a woman, to compete on a woman's team, or makes the statement. That's all he has to do is make a statement, okay? That's the minimum acceptable level. I identify as a woman. Okay, have a nice swim. To compete on a women's team if they had been treated with testosterone suppression medication for at least 1 year. So for a year, you had to have been jacking up your body with testosterone suppression meds, and then we'll let you jump in the pool with the girls. The most recent update in January aligns with the changes to the policies of the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee and the International Olympic Committee, who are both, by the way, totally given over to woke ideology, intersectionality, and the rest of it. Okay, so if you're going to align yourself with them... That's like aligning yourself with men who compete against women. Those who oppose the inclusion of trans women in women's sports argue that trans women have an unfair competitive advantage. Remember, trans woman. Okay, little 101 here for you guys. Trans woman. So when you say trans, whatever it is, woman, then that's the target. Okay, that's the goal. So that's a man who wants to be a woman, trans woman. A trans man, then, is the opposite, a woman who likes to think she's a man. Because either she's just gaming the system, has no integrity whatsoever, or they have gender dysphoria, which needs treatment, not drugs and a scalpel. And I'm saying that out of love, truth and love. When I say that, I know it sounds kind of snarky and harsh, but no, you have gender dysphoria. You need counseling. You need help. You don't need testosterone blockers or estrogen and to slice off your breasts if you're a woman or go below the belt if you're a man. You don't. You need counseling and help and love and compassion and patience. You don't need a scalpel and you don't need drugs to jack your body up because that's what happens. It's horrific what happens. But accordingly, NBC doesn't give a rip about that. Those who oppose the inclusion of trans women in women's sports argue that trans women have an unfair competitive advantage and that as a result, they take away opportunities from cisgender athletes. Oh, and got to wait again. Okay, got to stop again. Cisgender means, guys, you if you're a guy because you have guy stuff, then you consider yourself a guy. You're cisgendered. You still identify with the gender of your birth. That makes you cisgender. Okay. According to the NCAA, these assumptions are not well-founded. Moreover, there's a lack of scientific evidence that conclusively demonstrates a direct link between testosterone and athletic performance. Really? Here's a website that I shared with you recently, and this is just God stuff, okay? This is the way God designed us. Because men are generally stronger than women, that doesn't mean we're better. That just means you're stronger. Just like we have different roles, but that doesn't have anything to do with your value. We're all valuable, men and women, in God's sight. Straight, gay, bi, binary, non-binary, whatever. Throw all your LGBTQ plus stuff in there. And every single one of us, them, us, whatever, we all have inestimable worth in the eyes of God, our creator. All, every single person has inestimable worth, which is why I'm so ardently pro-life. And by the way, I'm pro-life whether that kid's going to grow up and be a scientist or that kid's going to grow up and be homeless, because your value is not determined by your contribution to society. Your value is determined the moment you're created, because you're created as a human being made in the image of God. Boom. End of story. That's all it is. Every single human being ever conceived has inestimable value simply because they're human. White, black, tall, short, transgender, whatever. Doesn't matter. You're going to grow up and be a loser. You're going to grow up and cure cancer. You're both valuable. And we protect both of you in the womb. That's what we should do. So they're saying there's really no difference here. That you can't prove that. Really? That's why I mentioned this website. This is just, remember, reality loses to ideology in the modern world. So get with it. Get with the program, everybody. It's just... Listen, I come in here and I know I sound disgusted because I am. I sound upset because I am. I get mad because I am. But I also, behind the voice, and I know I have a stern voice, behind the voice is a broken heart and somebody that weeps over the condition of the culture. And when people are this delusional, that breaks my heart. Just in case you're wondering, boysvsvswomen.com. Male high school athletes versus female Olympians. So they put them in swimming, track, and field. Okay. Literally, this is from 2016, the best male high school athletes in America in these various events versus female Olympians, the best in the world. Okay. 81 events. The guys won 75. The girls won 6. Just taking their actual performance. That's a pretty good indicator, isn't it? The guys won 75 medals. The girls won 6. They won, the girls, ladies, congratulations. You won 1 gold medal, 2 silvers, and 3 bronze. And then the guys took the other 75. High school boys competing against Olympian women. American high school boys competing against Olympian women. Okay, the best in the world. And NBC is not convinced that there's a difference. Unbelievable. According to the NCAA, these assumptions are not well-founded. Moreover, there's a lack of scientific evidence that conclusively demonstrates a direct link between testosterone and athletic performance. I bet if you looked into that scientific evidence, what they're talking about is just because you're a boy doesn't mean you're going to be a great athlete. That's true for our older son. Definitely a boy, not a great athlete. Okay, our other son, the 21-year-old, definitely a boy and a really good athlete. So the amount of testosterone, there's not a direct link. Because they both have testosterone, and one's athletic and the other isn't. That's probably what that scientific study is about. But please forgive me, I'm using logic. Athletic performance is influenced by a number of factors, including hormones, but also other things like coaching and training, psychological makeup of an athlete, access to resources and equipment, among others. Right, so if a woman wrestler has the right equipment, a good coach, and good training, then, you know, she's going to be able to take care of a trans woman. A man, same weight. No, that's ridiculous. Attempts to ban or limit the participation of trans athletes are not based on science. Instead, they're rooted in societal and cultural definitions of what constitutes gender or what defines a woman. See, this is just this woke ideology. It's just so insane. Romans chapter 1. Such questions matter because sports are organized based on the belief of natural differences between men and women, and they are sex segregated as a result. Yet this ultimately leads to the discrimination of athletes like Thomas. So then they do this. Boy, this is so messed up. The Supreme Court unanimously decided in Brown versus Board of Education that separate is not equal and segregation violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So NBC is comparing a guy with an Audi who wants to destroy girls in the pool, innies, and now they're saying that's like Brown versus Board of Education, separate but equal? Are you kidding me? The arrogance and delusion of these people is shocking. That's why they went on to compare it to Jackie Robinson. Leah Thomas is a modern-day Jackie Robinson. That is so offensive. I hope you're offended. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Okay, so according to NBC, welcome back. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. Or you can get the podcast, pretty much all the big major podcast platforms carry the show, The Steve Noble Show, so you can listen to. If you missed it today, yesterday, a year ago, whatever, you can do that. But if you go to the website, if you go to thestevenobleshow.com, then you can actually search. If you want to go, hey, what's Steve ever said about Trump or what's Steve ever said about abortion or whatever, then you can actually, it'll pull up all the podcasts that have that particular name, that particular word in the description of the podcast. So all kinds of stuff there. Also, don't forget, if you're a homeschooler, if you know a homeschool family, if you used to be a homeschool family, I need your help to continue to get the word out. I've been teaching for 10 years, high school civics, high school level Christian ethics, and just added U.S. history this year, which is blowing my mind. It's such a rich world to play in, U.S. history, from a, well, honesty standpoint. Let's look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Both sides mess it up, particularly on the left, but the right tends to gloss over things too. As a Christian, my allegiance is to the truth. It's not the right or the left. It's the truth. But U.S. history also, it's just what a great place to sharpen a biblical worldview, also to incorporate a gospel heart. It's my favorite class to teach of all three. It's unbelievable. So if you're here in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Cary area, you might be able to take a class with me in person. Or if you're outside the area, now we have it online. And they're going to be watching, by the way, when you take my online class, you're going to watch the classroom that I just taught. Because I'm using, just like on the show, I'm using current events, breaking news all the time, which makes all that stuff even more interesting, brings it alive, makes it relevant. It matters now. What happened in the 1930s, which we're talking about this week, matters today. It's awesome. NobleUSchool.com. That's the letter U. NobleUSchool.com. Okay, so Leah Thomas, NBC wants to compare Leah Thomas to Jackie Robinson, which is disgusting. And then here's what Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, does. Let's play that clip.
History as the first transgender woman to win an NCAA Division I championship. UPenn swimmer Leah Thomas finished last in the 100-yard freestyle last night at Georgia Tech.
I want DeSantis.
Charles Watson live in Atlanta with the latest on the controversial athlete.
Stop that and go look for DeSantis.
Yeah,
there's a clip on that Fox News story of Ron DeSantis speaking. It shows up as a Twitter. It's in the Fox News story, okay? So if you just go to the Fox News story, you're looking at all kinds of stuff right now. Just go back to the actual Fox News story. Go to the top. Just go back on the browser. Josh, try to find that. So anyway, Ron DeSantis comes out and says, oh, Leah Thomas, everybody's saying she won the 500 meter. No, she didn't. You know who did? Emma Wyatt. Emma Wyatt came in second, which means she came in first because she's the girl that came in ahead of all the other girls versus the boy that came in ahead of all the other girls. So Emma Wyatt actually was the winner. So he did a governor proclamation because Emma Wyatt's from Sarasota. Whereas Emma Wyatt qualified for the 2020 U.S. Olympics team and competed in the 2021 Tokyo Summer Olympics, where she won a silver medal in the women's 400 meter individually medley. And whereas Emma Wyatt currently attends the University of Virginia, yada, yada, yada.
AA has done.
All right, here we go. Go ahead. You got it?
Yeah, not audio.
I just heard the audio.
By allowing basically men
play
to
it. Bring it up.
In women's athletics. If you look at what the NCAA has done, by allowing basically men to compete in women's athletics, in this case the swimming, you had the number one woman who finished was from Sarasota, Emin Wyant. If you look at what the NCAA has done,
don't touch it.
By allowing basically men to compete in women's athletics, in this case the swimming, you had the number one woman who finished was from Sarasota, Emin Wyant. She won the silver medal. She's been an absolute superstar her whole career. She trains. I mean, to compete at that level is very, very difficult. And you don't just roll out of bed and do it. That takes grit. That takes determination. And she's been an absolute superstar. And she had the fastest time of any woman in college athletics. Now, the NCAA is basically taking efforts to destroy women's athletics. They're trying to undermine the integrity of the competition, and they're crowning somebody else the woman's champion. And we think that's wrong. And so in Florida, I'm going to be later.
All right, so here's what he did. We can stop it. Here's what he did. Whereas women have fought for decades. Go ahead, shut it down. Women have fought for decades to have equal opportunity in athletics, and it's wrong to allow ideology to erode these opportunities, as is happening in other states, and the preservation of women-specific athletic teams or sports is necessary to promote equality of athletic opportunities. And whereas it is my determination that men should not be competing against women, he's so radical, whereas Florida rejects the NCAA's efforts to destroy women's athletics, disapproves of the NCAA elevating ideology over biology, and takes offense at the NCAA trying to make others complicit in a lie, now there therefore, since she is a native Floridian from Sarasota, I, Ron DeSantis, governor of the state of Florida, do hereby declare in Florida that Emma Wyatt is the rightful winner of the 2022 NCAA Division I Women's 500-Yard Freestyle, congratulate her on yet another significant achievement, and express pride that she is a Florida resident. Bada bing, bada boom. Thank you for rationality, reality, and truth, Governor DeSantis. God bless you, sir. All right, let's jump over to Texas. Texas, the red state, right? Not so fast. School district tells four-year-olds to keep Pride Week lessons a secret. Respect privacy. What we say in this room stays in this room, reads one proposed Pride Week lesson plan for Doss Elementary School in Austin Independent School District. The activity is a teacher-led community circles conversation with kids about LGBT behaviors and is designed for pre-K through second grade. That's four years of age. The plan also tells students in kindergarten through fifth grade to not repeat anything. Please remember that we agreed to keep what happened in this circle confidential, their group lesson reads. The activity is part of Austin ISD's district-wide Pride Week this week, March 21st to 26th, endorsing LGBT sexual conduct to school children and teaching them trans ideology. So they posted, somebody messed up, the assistant principal at Doss Elementary there in Austin, Texas, which is uber liberal, deep blue, posted a video showing all these kids in elementary school. They slapped the pride flags on them. I've got a picture of it here in the studio behind me on the screen. And they march them around inside the school and do a gay pride parade with them. But shh, don't tell your parents, kids. Wow, really? Here's what one person said when they saw it on social media. The only time people ask children to keep secrets is when they're doing something with or to the children they know are not supposed to be doing. No kidding. So, 4-year-olds, pre-kindergarten through second grade pride parade stuff. So when you get this back to Florida, Florida legislature passes bill to restrict LGBTQ topics in elementary schools. Thank you. Thank you, Florida. You want to talk about this stuff at home? That's between you and your kids. But you want to talk about homosexuality, heterosexuality, sexual activity, transgenderism, and all of that with kindergarten through third grade in a public school or a private school or any school? What? No, that's disgusting and child abuse. Emotional, mental, psychological child abuse. Florida State Senators on Tuesday approved legislation, this is a couple weeks ago, that regulates school lessons about sexual orientation and gender identity, defying demands from some of their youngest constituents and pushing the state deeper into the nation's culture battles. Well, at least somebody's fighting. The legislation, which Florida Democrats and LGBTQ activists refer to as the Don't Say Gay Bill, now goes to Governor Ron DeSantis, and he's going to sign it. Here's what he said. We're going to make sure parents are able to send their kids to kindergarten without having some of this stuff injected into some of their school curriculum. The legislation, officially called the Parental Rights and Education Bill, would prohibit Florida schools from teaching schools and students in kindergarten through third grade about topics involving sexual orientation or gender identity. Why are we teaching a first grader about this stuff? They can't even read properly yet. And we're going to teach them about homosexual sex, bisexual sex, transgenderism, and do a little pride parade like they do over. This is not education. This is indoctrination. This is exactly what it is. And for years, people are like, ah, oh, it's paranoia. You guys are crazy. You homeschoolers, of course, you're going to say that. No, this is real. Can you hear the hiss of the snake? This is where the progressive liberals have been beating traditional people like me and most of you, if not all of you, for decades, if not 100 years since the progressive era and the early 1900s. If you want to infect all the cities down the Mississippi, all the way down to New Orleans, if you want to infect them all, where do you dump stuff in the system? Down at the bottom, that would be like Washington, D.C. or Hollywood. No, you go to the top. You go to the headwaters. What are the headwaters of culture in America? And it's been this way for 200 years. The headwaters of the culture is education with children. Those are the headwaters. So you go infect the headwaters. Go to the beginning of culture. Who's the next group coming up? Who's watching TikTok today? Let's get to them before they're 16. Let's get to them when they're, I don't know, 4. And let's indoctrinate them with this worldview. And by the way, for parents that get so offended when a conservative Christian like me speaks out, would you say anything if your teachers in your public school were teaching your kids in second grade that God created everything, that there's one gender, that marriage is between a man and a woman, that this is right and this is wrong? Would you be deeply offended by that? Oh, you would? Welcome to the party. You don't want the school system teaching your kids something that you're vehemently against. Neither do I. Now, we can argue about what's good and what's bad, but I think we all can understand that for a second grader or for a four-year-old, they don't need to be hearing about people's sex lives. We'll be right back. Angels said from up above, you know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to me. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Trust me, the madness, the enraging madness will end in just a second. We'll go to a great Devo that my wife shared with me today from Tim Tebow via Proverbs 31. So I'm glad to see Proverbs 31 is busting out of those gender constraints, right? So you can have some, Tim Tebow, who's a man, put out something via Proverbs 31 Ministries, which is really focused on women. So way to go, Proverbs 31. You guys busting out of all those societal norms that come down from the patriarchy. Good job. Hey, Tim, let's go play against women in baseball somewhere. I'm kidding, everybody. Just kidding. All right, my brother sent me this from Wall Street Journal. The opinion, op-ed from them, Hunter Biden's laptop in America's crisis of accountability. This is enraging to me. Again, here we go. Gosh, I'm Dr. Enraged today. We'll never know what effect the October surprise of 2020, the New York Post's reporting of the discovery of a laptop belonging to Hunter Biden containing all sorts of embarrassing emails, might have had on the election that year if it had received wider circulation. Perhaps in a campaign dominated by COVID and characterized by chaos, it would have been another snowflake in the blizzard of news voters were being hit with. But The allegations in the reporting that the son of the man favored to become the next president had been selling his high-level family political connections to foreigners, including suggestions of a possible cut for his father, remember the big guy, were worth pursuing. But enough influential people in and out of government, in the foreign policy intelligence complex, in the media, and in big tech firms were so alarmed that it would affect the outcome that they pulled off one of the greatest disappearing tricks since Harry Houdini made the elephant vanish from a New York stage. It took its time, but last week, the acknowledgement of the story's accuracy deep in about Hunter Biden's mounting legal problems. The Times, New York Times, along with most other mass circulation news organizations, had essentially ignored the story in the days when it might have made a difference. But now it says it has authenticated the laptop's contents. The concession from the paper, which serves as a sort of unofficial licensing authority for reporting by most of the rest of the media, talking about the mainstream liberal media, prompted a predictable rush to self-vindication by those who had also trashed the story at the time, meaning during the election. The Washington Post's original decision not to touch it was justified because of uncertainty about its provenance. Normally, when there's doubt about the provenance, believability, the truth of it, of an explosive story, news organizations consider it their job to ascertain the truth. Normally, it takes them less than 17 months to do so. But normally, they don't have the cover provided by technology companies that prevented people from reading the original story. The media and tech companies that colluded, this is a Wall Street Journal opinion piece, in concealing this potentially critical information didn't need any excuse to do so. But it surely helped that they were given validation for their actions by an august-sounding committee of concerned letter writers who moved quickly to discredit the story. Remember that? In that famous letter, more than 50 former national security and intelligence officials polished their gleaming credentials and alleged that the New York Post was guilty of peddling a story that, quote, had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation, unquote. Russia, Russia, Russia. The principal rationale for this, the letter laid out, was that the story might be helpful to Donald Trump. Russia wanted Mr. Trump to win. The story helped Mr. Trump. Ergo, it was the work of Russia, Russia, Russia. That's quite a syllogism. Using the same logic, you might conclude that Russia was also responsible for any unexpectedly good economic data that helped the incumbent, or that Vladimir Putin was behind the crime wave that gripped Democrat-run cities that summer. Now we can guess why so much U.S. intelligence has been so faulty all these years. Either these 50 or so grandmasters of international espionage are completely unable to distinguish Russian disinformation from real information, or they prostituted their credentials in a naked act of political hackery. I don't have the experience or deductive skills, but I'm ready to go with the latter. This is an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. The deeper shame here is the lack of accountability across American institutions. No one who colluded in this conspiracy against truth has ever been inconvenienced by it. Contacted by the Post last week, not one of the letter's signatories expressed regret or contrition. The reporters and editors at news organizations and the employees and executives of tech companies who participated in the suppression continue to be lionized for their work. This is what is so corrosive of trust and, in the end, of the system itself. The one way in which real accountability is supposed to work in a democracy is at the ballot box. But how can that even work when the people we want to hold accountable decide that what information the voters are allowed to see? Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. And there'll be no backlash because, and now listen, my Christian brothers and sisters, we all have to check our madness at the door and our disgust and our anger and our desire to just go out there and drop the hammer, right? Clear out the money changers. Because really, my friends, what do you expect? What do you expect to sound more presidential? This is exactly what you're going to get from the world now and until you go home to be with Jesus or he comes back. This is exactly what you're going to get, and it's only going to get worse. So our temperature should only go up so much. Our heart rates should only increase so much. I mean, when the sun comes up in the east tomorrow morning, are you going to lose your junk? Are you going to throw something at the TV? You're going to go outside, start screaming and cussing at the top of your lungs because the sun came up in the east? How frustrating is that? Well, it's always going to rise in the east, right? Then a compass points to true north. And when your lemon tree drops a lemon on the ground, when it actually bears lemon as its fruit, because it is a lemon tree, are you going to lose your mind over that? No. Hey, Steve, can you believe? Look at your lemon tree, bro. Yeah, what about it? There's lemons growing on there. Yeah, it's a lemon tree. Oh, why should I lose my mind over that? Now transfer that over to the culture and the world. It's heartbreaking in the world because we're talking about people. We're not talking about a tree or we're not talking about fruit. We're talking about human beings. But don't sell your joy down the river over this stuff. What do you expect, really? And do you think we're going to go back to some nostalgic day when everybody loved Jesus? Everybody didn't love Jesus when Jesus was in their face doing miracles. Not everybody loved him. That's not going to change until he cleans the whole system up in the end. So just accept that reality. I'm not, by the way, if you're newer to the show, you know I'm no cheerleader for apathy. But the more it breaks you, the more we should be praying about it, right? And then you engage and you speak the truth for the sake of people. Glorify God because you're an agent of truth and for the sake of your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts your feelings. Finding your mission right where you are. Tim Tebow, March 22nd. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. That's Luke 10, 42. That was Jesus talking about Mary and Martha. Have you ever wondered what your life's mission is? This is Tim Tebow. What your purpose is? Most of us have wondered that at some point. I learned a lot about mission when I met my friend Jaden. 23-year-old Jaden Barr has had type 1 diabetes since he was 15 years old, as well as recurring costolithoma, which has resulted in hearing loss in both ears. While he admits he has fallen short time and time again, Jaden aspires to live what I call a mission possible life, a life that glorifies God through living out his unique purpose. I had the opportunity to spend a few days with Jaden in 2015. This is Tim Tebow writing. Part of my mission was to encourage him, but by the end of our time together, he was the one encouraging me. It's funny how God works that way so often. In light of the health challenges Jaden has had to endure, he recognized what it means to live a mission possible life. Jaden told me, quote, God created me with a purpose, to know him and to make him known. It's easy to fall into the temptation of thinking life is about me and my plans, but I'm always reminded that the mission I've been given by God is much bigger and better than any worldly pursuit. By giving God control over my plans and following his instead, it makes the work I do have meaning and significance, he said. This amazing young man, Tebow writes, has a heart that desires the greater things, what Jesus called the good part, Luke 10. Or, as the New Living Translation puts it, the one thing worth being concerned about. We find this verse in the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus is speaking to Martha about her sister Mary, who had discovered the one important thing. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. And what is that one thing? Pursuing God, sitting at his table, being in his presence without worry, fear, anxiety, resume building, or winning a title. It's not that we never think about those things, but we don't let them dominate our vision. We strive and strain forward in this life with Jesus as our focus, with his will as our goal, and with his reward as our prize. Even at his young age, my friend Jaden had the wisdom to point out the dangers of me-centric living. Boy, this is convicting to me. This is tempting for all of us, no matter how young or old. No matter if you're a parent or a preacher, a student or a teacher, a web creator or a music maker. I love what Jaden once shared with me. You'll end up empty if you make life or your mission about yourself. I feel most fulfilled and in line with my purpose when I'm looking outside of myself and my own desires and putting that energy into pouring into others. When you look outside yourself, that's where true mission is found, he said. This reminds me, Tebow writes, of the power and passion that come when you're focusing your energy outside of yourself. I want to live each day more alive and more passionate because of what Jesus has done for me. The past, his death and resurrection, keeps me motivated in the present to change the future. When we determine to live mission possible, we won't look back one day and wrestle with regret or wonder why we did what we did with our lives, because we, right now, have a specific role to play in bringing faith, hope, and love to a world in need. No kidding! Amen to that! That's why I'm here, 5 days a week, God willing. That's why I teach. That's why we're starting Noble U, nobleuschool.com, to pour into others, to try to proclaim the good news. To use the truth of Scripture, of God's Word and God's way into all aspects of life. To make a difference in other people's lives. I try not to be me-centric in that. I fight that. You probably do as well. But what a great message, finding your mission right where you are. Be on mission, friends. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.